She inspires, educates, and informs. She talks the talk and walks the walk. She doesn't tell you what to think. She just wants you to. She's Mrs. Green. And this is Mrs. Green's World on the Mrs. Green's World Network. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. I'm Gina Murphy-Darling, and you are indeed listening to Mrs. Green's World, an inspirational and formative and known to be sometimes quite fun place where we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to. Thanks so much for joining us. And thanks to the sponsor of our show, the Chapman Automotive Group, a company truly committed to doing their share, showing they care about their employees, about their community, and about the planet. More information is available about all the great green energy efficient vehicles they sell at their dealerships at ChapmanTucson.com, and we thank them for all of the above. Okay, I am beyond Thunderdome excited, which really dates me that I even use Thunderdome, about our show today for many reasons, one of them being that before this guest and what she does came on the radar, I admit to not having a clue about what a jackfruit was, and I'm hoping that most of you did not either, because like I want to be in the know, and I can pretty much guarantee that I was not aware of the existence of said fruit. So it was really exciting for me to not only read about and learn about the fruit, but about the mission of our guest and what she has for this amazing fruit. It intrigued me and it intrigued our team incredibly. So for the next hour, we're going to be discussing the jackfruit. It's a big fruit and it has a big mission. Our guest has a big mission for it. And I mean, I want to tell you, it is a big fruit. Anybody that I show it to on my computer, they're like, whoa. So please join me in welcoming Annie Ryu. And Annie, I hope I said your name right.
You did.
Good. Yay. I work for that. Yes. Founder.
Thank you for the welcome.
Founder and CEO of the Jackfruit Company. Annie, really and truly, thanks so much for joining us. And you can always tell I'm not very good at faking it, but I'm thrilled to have you here and very excited for you to share your vision about how it's not going to change the world, but how it already is. So the most obvious question, and I didn't want to be so cliche, but I have to start with the obvious in this case. What the heck is a jackfruit?
That's a good question.
I have a lot of good questions, but like if we're going to be talking about the company, we have to know what it is.
Absolutely. Well, jackfruit is a miracle food. It is the world's biggest fruit that grows on trees, and it is the meatiest plant on the planet. It has this naturally meaty texture from the fiber that's inherent in the fruit. So instead of like the sinews of an animal, it's really just the fiber in the fruit that enables it to take this this appearance and texture of pulled pork. But it's also, while people mostly use it for pulled pork today, it's also that same shreddy kind of texture that you'd find in chicken or in steak. And so it ends up being extremely versatile. As a food, while I say it's a fruit, the stage that's used as a meat alternative is before any sugar has developed. So it doesn't taste sweet at all. In fact, it has a very neutral flavor and it takes up the flavor of whatever you prepare it with. So you could make it with barbecue sauce. You could make it with mole sauce. I mean, it's like extremely versatile. So any kind of cuisine, you know, make it with teriyaki sauce, put it in a stir fry. And so really your imagination is the limit. And if you're going to try to cook with jackfruit, just take any recipe that you have that uses either a meat or a meat alternative, use those same seasonings with jackfruit, and you've got a fabulous new recipe that is very nutritious, brings in that fiber from the fruit, which is actually something that most Americans are heavily deficient in, and then just has that clean ingredient deck and just really, really delicious food.
So rarely do I get on a show and say I have one major regret. And I mean rarely. And I do. I have a major regret for this because I am researching the show. My life is very busy, just like everybody else's that I know. And I'm thinking, why the heck did I not order some so I could taste it? I'm looking at the website, you know, earlier this morning, and I'm saying, this looks like pulled pork. And I live with eternal guilt, consummate guilt, that I'm not a vegetarian yet, which we'll discuss later in the show. But it looks so good. And I thought it was going to look like tofu. And you can trust me when I say I wasn't signing up for any tofu jackfruit. But it doesn't look like that. So we really have to talk more about it. And so now that we know what a jackfruit is, and we'll talk, you know, more about that. But you just have to talk a little bit about how the company started. That's as intriguing as never having heard of a jackfruit and what it does, and just going all over the website and then Googling other things. But it started as Global Village Market. So tell us your story and the mission. And it's a wonderful story. Wonderful story.
Well, thank you. I started the company because jackfruit is native to India. It's growing on trees. It's super abundant. A single tree there could yield a ton, 2 tons, 3 tons of jackfruit in a single year, just growing organically. And so in India, still the majority of employment is through agriculture, but farming is typically, you know, very low income, very unstable income, and so farmers living in poverty. And so when I saw this fruit, which is the world's biggest fruit that grows on trees, so a tremendous source of food, but going to waste there because there weren't any supply chains for it and there weren't any products developed with it, I just saw an incredible opportunity.
It was literally rotting.
Yeah, it was literally rotting. An incredible opportunity to create income for farming families at tremendous scale, too. If we could just develop great products with jackfruit and develop supply chains for it. So decided that I was going to create a company to do that. Did not know at the time how difficult that would be.
But just, let's tell everybody how old you were. Okay.
At that time, I was like 20.
20, yeah. It's like, and you didn't know how hard it was all going to be. Oh, shame on you. I'm reading this. I kept going back and saying, I know I read she was 26 now. How is this happening? So okay. So you were 20 and you didn't know all the answers, but I think probably you do now. So it's like, okay, so then what did you do?
I'm not sure about all the answers.
Well, a lot more of them, at least, is how hard it was going to be. Okay, so then what did you do?
So I went back to start my junior year at college. I was an anthropology major and also a pre-med student. So I was working on dehydrated jackfruit at the time, which is sort of similar to dried mango, which is a sweet, nutritious snack. And what I learned in the first year was that the fact that a product benefits farmers is not enough to create, you know, a big enough marketplace to really sustain the company.
Right.
Which was, again, I did not have a food or a business background at all. I just wanted to help the farmers. And so at the same time, though, actually Whole Foods was interested in the product. And so the problems that we then started facing just trying to get the product to Whole Foods were supply chain issues and just quality control with getting this food that never had supply chains built for it, never had products developed with it, to a market, and not just any market, but like the market with the highest quality standards in the world. And so in 2013, I graduated from college and started working on the company full time. That same year, after 2 years of struggles trying to get the supply chains built for dried jackfruit, realized that the young jackfruit, again, before the sugars have developed, is just an incredible value proposition as a product, because it's not just, you know, all of the nutritional and consumer benefits that I was talking about earlier, but in terms of the environmental benefit as well. So two of the top 10 major contributors, biggest contributors to global warming are the meat industry and right. deforestation. And so those can both be addressed with jackfruit because, hey, if you're running out of supply for some reason, you just go plant more trees to create something that's helping to reduce consumption of meat. And so that's pretty amazing. And then combine that with the fact that it's in a category that traditionally has been ultra-processed soy and gluten, which are two of the eight major allergens, two things that most people get way too much of or really just are looking for more. But it's also that, when you're trying to create something with a meaty texture from like a soybean or from wheat, like you end up having to do yes. a tremendous amount of processing.
Yeah. Yes.
And then you've got this food that is like that, just the way it's growing on trees, so much so that it's been used that way for thousands of years. In India, people do like to eat goat meat, which is, of course, called mutton, and so they call jackfruit tree mutton.
You are kidding.
Nope.
Everybody listening to the show has got to go to the website. When you see this jackfruit, it looks like something that should be an avatar, not on the planet. It's like, what the That's heck? True. Is this real? It's an aberration. But, okay, so I didn't mean to interrupt, but I mean, the reactions I had, I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. So our whole team was really excited about it. So go on. So you have, and it is a superfood. Let's just go and say that.
It is.
It is. It's yep. like, and I'm yep. thinking that if this works for me, my friend Rita, who is a big, big, huge supporter of Mrs. Green's World, all she ever says to me, so are you vegan yet? I'm like, I don't even like kale. No, I'm not yet. I don't eat much meat, but this could be huge for me and many others.
Absolutely.
Okay. It's
absolutely
high fiber, gluten-free, soy-free, non-GMO, low calorie, zero cholesterol, yep. and sustainably sourced. I'm talking about guilt-free eating here.
Right. Yeah, okay. the first restaurant that stocked our product, it was funny because I had this favorite restaurant in Harvard Square, and it's called Veggie Planet. I wasn't a vegetarian before I went to college, but really started getting into it when I was in college because it's just so many delicious vegetarian options. And then they opened this place called Veggie Galaxy in Central Square in Boston, and they have this like... they're known for sort of having decadent sort of vegetarian options. Like, they're options that, like, you would never think that vegetarian food can't be extraordinary and delicious. It's just, like, fantastic
right,
food.
Right.
So
even I would eat it.
Yeah, anybody could just walk in there, and if it weren't, like, Veggie Galaxy, like, you would not know that, like, this was not... meat. So basically they have this barbecue pulled pork sandwich that's actually made from jackfruit. And I remember taking I've gone there so many times for meetings, of course, to show people jackfruit. And, it's like, so many times hearing from a person on the other side of the table, eating this food and just like that, you could try to eat that amount of pulled pork and you would feel sick because it's like it sounds like a great idea, it looks like a great idea, and then you eat it, and it's like, oh my gosh, I shouldn't have eaten that. But when it's actually jackfruit, and you just feel great afterwards.
It's enabling
that experience.
I'm
it's
reading
not just
and
like guilt-free at the beginning, but yeah. like you feel great
it's
afterwards.
It's the gift
too.
That keeps on giving, and I'm reading this, and I'm saying, I'm thinking I'm reading fake news. It's like, and then I read, and it's the registered dietitian for Whole Foods, and you're quoted in National Geographic. These are two organizations that kind of vet what they say, we do think, with a team of lawyers. And then Newsweek. It says the fiber could reduce your, it's like it fix every whatever ails you, heart disease, diabetes, high blood pressure, and diverticulitis, any type of that disease. So
right.
if you
right.
think I'm not saying on air that I'm going to go get it, I'm going to go get it. And even if I don't like it, I'm going to acquire a taste for it. That's what I committed to.
Yeah.
I am not kidding.
Well, yeah, no, diverticulitis, real, that's the real deal. I mean, I actually did a semester in medical school, before I realized that it definitely would not work to try to run a company and be in medical school at the same time.
Annie Ryu has limits.
But basically, we were doing anatomy lab, right? And so trying to figure out cause of death, and like our patient literally had diverticulitis. Was not the cause of death for this particular person, but our preceptor came over and she was like, no, this is actually a really common issue in America because people have such low fiber diets. And if you look at the research, the average American gets less than half the amount of fiber we're supposed to have. And that's why diverticulitis and inflammation of the large intestine is so, so common, because we're just packing protein and not getting enough fiber. Fiber of any nutrient, like, you need that, not on a just a weekly basis. I mean, it's like you really need to get enough of it on a daily basis to keep your system functioning normally. It's like the most important thing that's so under talked about. I mean, it's not like it's easy to talk about because it's usually associated with, like, you know, staying regular, and that's only important for older people. Not true. It's
not
important
true,
for your whole
not
system.
True. I can talk about my whole family and my young daughters and the issues they have, and some of my really good young friends. It's like, it is a big deal. And not only are we not eating enough fiber, what most of us are putting in our bodies is, you know, you talk about fake news. Well, there's a lot of fake food out there. You know, once you know what right. you know, you look on the shelves and you say, there's not one bit of real food in this entire package. So note to right. self, stay away from that package. But yeah, so we have to go back a little bit, though. So we went like from 0 to 100, and I can tell you and I are going to have that challenge on this call because we're like type A really fast. But so you're in India, you discover this, you know, you're thinking about going to medical school, you come back, there's a lot of obstacles. Well, in between, how did you start to know what to do to develop actual products that you could bring to market? There's a lot in between that you had to do with people's help to take it to the level where it is today. So what was some of that backstory in the middle?
Yeah.
Yeah, she takes a deep breath, a very deep breath.
Learning.
That's a lot.
A lot.
It's not like developing a reusable bottle. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, so I definitely would not have been able to build this company like if I grew up in my parents' generation. I just feel that the internet has enabled like a totally,
yes,
like totally different futures and opportunities for
right.
people.
Right.
In my generation and going forward. So I relied heavily on the internet to learn whatever I needed to learn.
That's a
initially.
Great answer. I mean, that's a smart
yeah.
answer. Yeah.
I mean, it's books too, but if you need an answer to a question at your fingertips and you have 1,000 questions, then the internet is definitely the fastest way.
It's access to the world. I mean, it's so true. And young people like you, when I get stumped on something, even why my iPhone is not letting me put in a location, I just say it to some young person. They say, "Well, let's go look on YouTube." I'm starting to think that way, and or Google it, find out what's going on. And lo and behold, pretty much if you have a question and know how to ask it, you can find an answer. And I think that's phenomenal. I think it's a blessing and can be a challenge of our time, but that's really a great answer because you had to get labs and recipes and packaging. I mean, the ugly produce people, I've been friends with them, and I forget the guy's name, young man too, who did the oyster mushrooms and started selling them out, you know, on the West Coast to Whole Foods. I mean, you know, they loved them, and Whole Foods started buying them, and then they said, yeah, we want X amount. And they're like, they looked at each other and said, oh God, now what the heck do we do? So believe it or not, I can't stand this sometime. We have about 1 minute till the break, our first break. And it's like, okay, you got to hurry, Gina, because there's so many things I want to answer, but it's okay. And when we come back, I want you to talk a little bit more about how do you prepare it, like you personally, and you know, the packaging and the kinds of things that you, where you can you know, order it. Like I looked at it. There's a store locator. So get into some of the meat of it, as you were, the alt meat. And of course, throughout the show, I'd like to talk about the whole social justice component, which is really important to me. So everybody, stay here with me. We'll be back in 30 seconds with Annie Ryu from the Jackfruit Company.
Join us for a new on-demand podcast every week at MrsGreensWorld.com. Listen on your computer or mobile device using the iHeartRadio or SoundCloud mobile apps. We are a proud member of the iHeartRadio, Glimmerglass, and Speak Up networks. Connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram. Stay in touch with information about healthy living, sustainability, contests, and events by signing up for our e-newsletter on our website. If you have questions or comments about the show, write to us at info@MrsGreensWorld.com. We'd love to hear from you. But right now, back to Mrs. Green.
Welcome back, everybody. I am Gina Murphy-Darling, and you are listening to Mrs. Green's World, where we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to. And for this hour, we're asking you to think about jackfruit. Thanks for joining us. We are spending this hour with Annie Ryu, founder and CEO of the Jackfruit Company. The Jackfruit's mission is to transform healthy eating, farmers' livelihoods, and humanity's eco-footprint for the better. And I read that slowly so you can absorb it. A bit more about this incredibly impressive guest. Annie is 26 years old, and I can't even say that hardly without laughing with respect, okay? She was recently named one of Forbes magazine's 2017 30 Under 30 Social Entrepreneurs. She founded the Global Fruit Village, now the Jackfruit Company, in the summer of 2011 while working in India to implement a maternal and child health care program. And is it Remandivox? Is that how you say it? Remindivox?
Remindivox.
She and her brother had developed. Annie worked to build the Global Fruit Global Village Network during her junior and senior years at Harvard, winning Harvard's Women in Business Competition, Harvard's I3 Innovation Challenge, and the Resolutions Project Social Venture Challenge. And I was going to say, is that all? And has been recognized as a Global Food Fund Fellow, an honorary fellow at the Legatum would be Latin to me, Center for Development and Entrepreneurship at MIT, and is one of Glamour's top 10 college women. Annie, what an inspiration. And I say that very sincerely. If we had more 26-year-olds stepping up to what you're doing, we could shift the situation of the planet a little bit more quickly, which we certainly need to do. So before I forget, I want to ask you, I would be so angry with myself if I didn't ask you. So just these fruits, how much does like the biggest one weigh? So people can really get a thought. We're not talking like 50 pounds. How much?
No, yeah, we actually tried to find that once for the Guinness World Record book, and I don't think we got the very biggest one we could have found, but it was about 100 pounds.
They're huge, and you're standing next to one, and it's half as big as you are. Then I wanted to ask you, too, this is just back to the, you know, we'll get to the how you prepare it, but so do you bring the whole fruit over here? Is it shipped here, or is it processed in the villages? I'd love to know the backstory on that as well.
Absolutely. So we manage the whole farm-to-factory supply chain to ensure that the farmers are getting paid the
right
appropriate amount, and then also to make sure that like the fruit is delivered, you know, at the right stage, the right time, the right quality. We definitely have to do the, you know, the peeling and everything in a factory to ensure like the food
right
quality and food safety is
right
maintained. But yeah, so we do the production in India because that's critical to ensuring the right quality of the fruit.
It's not rotting while it's being shipped and more of a carbon footprint.
Right.
I mean, I was hoping that was going to be your answer.
Yep. And then we just do all of the final packaging in India, and then it ships over here as a finished product.
Unbelievable. Okay, unbelievable. And as I said, you guys, everybody has to go look at it and say, you've got to be kidding. And I don't know why we never heard of it, but I don't think it's not like you can go to Whole Foods and see it in the fruit section. let's just put it that way. It would create quite a phenomenon, wouldn't you say?
Well, yeah, no, actually, some of them do. Some of the Whole Foods do display jackfruit in the fresh fruit section, because it does create
a buzz,
kind of a scene in a good way.
Yeah, a buzz. A big buzz. Look at this alien fruit that landed from Mars and it's edible. Oh my gosh! Do the people in India eat it on a regular basis? I mean, do they know how great it is, and they just couldn't consume enough?
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of a situation where you eat as much as you can, you give away as much as you can, and just because the fruit is so high yield, you still have enough, and the rest of it goes to waste, because it's, like, so big, it's also hard to transport. So the one thing that's a downside with jackfruit, apart from the fact that it's, like, huge, so you need some way to store it, is that it is kind of hard to prepare. And so we've definitely, made an art of it. And when you're doing it at commercial scale, that sort of takes the hardship out of just, getting all the equipment out and then doing it for one jackfruit. So we prepare it for you. But if you're just preparing it yourself, it is like, a labor of love.
Yeah, trust me, it's not only not in my DNA to think about it, but it's not in my future. I'm going to get it good old-fashioned way, buy it at the store. It's like, or buy it online for your company. But in terms of like where you are in the market, and I'm kind of going off my own outline, but there's such a shift now and a decrease of meat intake. I mean, almost everybody I know is trying to eat less meat. And it's, it is people I hang around with who are really conscious consumers, but there are big numbers. And I found some of them on your website, like 25% of U.S., 25% of U.S. consumers decreased their meat intake from 2014 to 2015. And meat alternative sales nearly doubled. And it's big numbers, from 69 million in 2011 to 109 million in 2015. And I am sure that those numbers are way, way, way bigger than that right now. And as you mentioned quickly in the first segment, the number one thing that you can do as a human being to help with the, the mitigation of climate change and CO2 emissions is to eat no meat or less meat. And it's both. It's the methane from the cows and on. But my journey began because of the rainforest. And I went to Peru and I'm like, we're totally screwed if we don't stop killing the rainforest for beef production, for McDonald's hamburgers. And that's the truth. To feed our fast food addiction, don't get me started on the rainforest, because then this will turn to a rant on the rainforest. But eating less meat, I know from my conscience, is the best thing that we can do. And it doesn't mean everybody has to be a vegetarian. But you are so right about it. Okay, that was the end of the rant. I took a deep breath.
Oh.
Let's switch a little bit.
You're right
to,
on.
I mean, and it's so true. I mean, and I joke about my friend Rita. She's so proud of me and what I'm doing and the work we're doing and the impact we're making. And I was at a function here last night. I was the speaker, and she was there, and she came up to me and she said, "What'd you have for dinner?" And I mean, I was telling everybody, "Don't tell Rita what I ate. Don't tell." I was hiding what I was eating. And she said, "Oh, not a vegan yet. Okay, keep working on Mrs. Green." So let's talk about the sustainability aspect. Not only are people starving every day, probably 500 children died today from starvation. The impact of climate change on marginalized communities is the most profound, impactful, and dreadful. I can't find the words. So you and your company are working with how many communities and what's happening to them. I want you to spend some time talking about your social justice component to this, which impresses me as much as anything.
Thank you. So we work directly with just over 500 farming families now. And really what jackfruit is able to do is be just added income for those farming families because the fruit was there and it doesn't need any fertilizers, pesticides.
Right, they don't have to start farms.
Any maintenance.
Yes.
It's drought resistant. It's already yielding a tremendous amount of fruit. So they're just able to sell all that to us and benefit from that added income at that moment. And we also, the amount that we're buying, we return a chunk of it in a gift to them at the end of the year for whatever thing that they most want within a reasonable amount of cash. So what we did this year was families wanted to have a stove. So we actually gave as a gift a stove to each of the families that we work with.
Wow.
And
people don't understand what
to...
that means. I mean, Annie, they don't understand. A lot of people don't understand what a stove means and how transformative it is forever.
Right. No, it's like we wanted to be able to contribute in a super tangible way as well because, every family can added income is just such a transformative thing if you don't have stable income. But it's hard to kind of understand exactly the magnitude of that sometimes. But like literally just having a stove, like if you think about how much that enables for a family and it's something that everybody can use and benefit from, really like something that's helpful for the entire family. So we wanted to be able to be a part of that and be a part of that every year. So that's part of it. And we're just excited to continue growing the impact that we're able to have. So obviously the more that we're able to sell product, the more families that we're able to work with and the more impact that we're able to have. So just really excited to be able to continue growing the company. That was initially when I started the company, considered making it a nonprofit, but really felt like the way that we would be able to have the greatest impact was to be able to invest in scale. So it's again as an entity that we're going to be able to hopefully, in not too many years be working with thousands and hundreds of thousands of families.
And you have that, you can answer another question for me, which is, that to me is the definition of a social entrepreneur, and you might want to expand on that, but it's a much thrown about term, and people use it, and a lot of people don't even hear it. What's a social entrepreneur? They probably don't even hear the word, but that sets someone apart from a social entrepreneur, just a regular entrepreneur, I mean. So talk about that piece. I mean, it's very different, and I'm with you. I don't want to have to go through a board to get everything I want to do approved, but I have the mindset of a nonprofit in terms of pledging our support back to missions we believe in.
Right. So I came to entrepreneurship through nonprofits. I was working with an enterprise in the Dominican Republic, which I'd come to, and they were working on poverty alleviation projects, and we were there working on water chlorination and building latrines. And I'd actually come to that organization through healthcare and the realization that like you can't have good health if you don't have an income to have access to healthcare. So really, kind of the push to entrepreneurship started when I was a pre-med, and just recognizing that if you're a nonprofit, you're having to spend a big chunk of time raising money.
Yes.
I was working with this nonprofit that was doing such great work in the Dominican Republic, like we didn't have time to work on some of the biggest enterprises that we thought could have bigger impact than things that we were doing, because we were spending that time raising money to maintain the operations that we had. When I understood like this concept of social entrepreneurship, which was just briefly mentioned in this global health class that I had freshman fall, it was so intriguing to me, the idea of something that was not only having an impact, but in the same mechanism that was creating the impact, creating the income to be able to scale that impact. And that was the initial spark. And like the first time I'd heard of social entrepreneurship that got me started.
So it's, you know, I'm sitting here thinking and really very much listening and thinking probably when you were 10, you did not say, when I grow up, I want to be the CEO of a jackfruit company. Okay, I get that. I really get that. At least I'm really hoping you didn't, Annie. That would be a little troubling. But there are pieces to this where I love to know about, you know, I love the metaphor of seeds were being planted and you were being prepared and you went to Harvard. And there, the people that I've spoken with, you know, Sarah Kaus is a friend of mine who started Swell Bottle. And I said to Sarah on an interview one time, I said, Sarah, did everybody who went to Harvard, they all end up like you, like being entrepreneurs at 12? And but what do you think you were being prepared for in terms of all of the winning ingredients you have in this, in terms of food waste, mitigating climate change, the social justice piece, and using profit for good? Who doesn't want to make money? I mean, you got to be kidding me. I'm not Mother Teresa. So how do you explain the journey of you were called to this? Look what you were doing when you were in school and you went to the Dominican Republic and on and on. What were the seeds planted in you that made you show up as this?
Yeah. Well, that goes.
And that was like a 5-minute question, but you get what I'm going for.
Yeah. Well, so I guess... It's funny because so when I was 5, so this is before I was 10 and wanted to work on jackfruit. I'm just kidding. But when I was 5, I wanted to be a veterinarian of the jungle. So I was like, you know, because animals in the jungle probably need to be cared for sometimes too.
Yes.
So that was the idea.
Yes.
And I was practicing on my stuffed animals. But like my, I grew up in Rochester, Minnesota. So that's the hometown of the Mayo Clinic, which means that like 35% of my hometown is like, you know, a doctor or a nurse or otherwise employed at the Mayo Clinic. And it's really an entire city of people who are focused on caring for people and making the world a better place. So that was just part of my entire ecosystem for the first 18 years of life. I was pretty much set on becoming a doctor when I went to school. But again, like that freshman fall, taking this global health class and realizing that, like, you know, medicine is one way to impact people's health. But it often kind of comes, in the scale, in the timeline of someone getting very sick, medicine is in a way late, because it's like you're trying,
yes,
to fix a problem that's been created.
Right.
And so there was a lot of interest in prevention and primary care. And then in this particular global health class, like really interest in prior to that as well, is like, how do you in your community have a system, like what are the things that can be there to prevent people from getting sick at all? And that's, you know, about we talked a lot about poverty alleviation and talked about access to healthy food. And when I was in India for the first time and when I first saw jackfruit, that was working on a different social venture that my brother and I had created that was more so about healthcare specifically. So I had been working in Nicaragua on maternal and child health care, and my brother had been working in India on a variety of different types of healthcare projects. And what we had noticed across these two very different geographies, like myself in Nicaragua and he was in India, was like in India, there was just this incredible access to cell phones that was transforming people's lives. You know, if you're a farmer and you're trying to sell your crop, your entire season's crop for, a good amount to be able to sustain your family for the next season, like being able to call someone and find out that one market is selling for twice as much as the other market is transformative. And
right,
so
right,
the people picking up cell phones was a huge thing there. Whereas I was in Nicaragua and like the fact that people did not have cell phones, did not have landlines, did not have mail service, it was a huge barrier to being able to ensure that people were getting the healthcare that they needed. And so this difference in cell phone access was something that my brother and I picked up on right away when we were talking about what we were seeing. And so we decided to create this program that was sending automatic text message reminders to mothers and pregnant women for healthcare appointments, for prenatal care checkups, and for infant vaccinations.
You got to be kidding. So hold that thought. I told you I'd do it, and I promised, and I came through with my promise. So hold that thought. We'll pick it up right when we come back. Annie Ryu, founder and CEO of the Jackfruit Company.
Mrs. Green's world's mission is to preserve the planet by creating a global community of people who care about the health of the earth. We educate, inform, and inspire. Mrs. Green's World is an independent, non-political, agenda-free voice. Your generous gift enables all of us to explore the issues facing the health of the planet in a comprehensive way. As a Mrs. Green's World sustainer, you can assist us in offering trusted information, providing listeners with the tools to make their own conclusions and choose their own steps to create a healthier planet. Visit MrsGreensWorld.com and click on Become a Member today.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Gina Murphy Darling, and this is Mrs. Green's World, and I thank you for being a part of it. If you have just joined us, the topic for our show this hour is the jackfruit, a big fruit on a big mission. Their mission is to transform healthy eating, farmers' livelihoods, and humanity's eco-footprint. Talk about taking on a big mission for the better. And with Annie Ryu, the founder and CEO, and our guest for this hour at the helm, I have very few doubts that they have been and will continue to make their mark on this planet. Annie, once again, thank you for being here and for just having such a great interview with me. It's been delightful. So, okay, you and your brother were developing cell phones for pregnant women. Go from there.
Well, thanks for having me. We worked to develop a program that was an automatic text message reminders to mothers and pregnant women for prenatal health checkups and infant vaccinations. And so that was why we initially went to India. And it was there that I saw jackfruit on my first day. So really, social entrepreneurship started off, you know, as a way to, I mean, came there from nonprofit and trying to make an impact, but seeing in entrepreneurship a way to scale the impact by having revenue through that impact.
So there it was. Now, okay, I mean, it just, so you were doing that too. And it blows me away, even in, when I've been in Peru and Ecuador and Costa Rica, we're out in the middle of nowhere. Well, not really. When I was, my last trip to Ecuador a couple of months ago, there was no cell phone coverage, trust me. But some of these places like Costa Rica, we're out in the middle of the rainforest jungle and, you know, someone pulls out their cell phone. So it is one thing that some people are able to have, even in remote areas. So let's talk a little about, in terms of the Jackfruit Company's core values, a plant-based diet, because it is one of these solutions. And people ask me all the time, what's the one thing I can do? And I just look at them and say, you're not going to like my answer. Eat less meat, and in a perfect world, eat no meat. So in some of the material that your team sent to me, it indicated that Gen Z is adopting more of a plant-based diet at a higher and faster rate. Why do you think this is so important in terms of shaping the social changes?
Right.
It's a big one.
Well, yeah, no, it's a huge one. I mean, we're seeing, I think, you know, with Gen Z, there are a lot of things that we've been talking about for decades and centuries, really, that are just starting to become much more visible in terms of climate change. There's just, in terms of, you know, the storms that we're seeing that are unlike anything that we've ever seen before, the fact that that every single year is the hottest year that we've ever had on record. It's just things that we can't ignore anymore. There's also the fact that, you know, with the scale of the meat industry, that we're having to process, you know, process is a really gentle way of putting it, so many animals to feed the world's global population. You think about, like, meat that is, you know, more expensive, like antibiotic-free meat.
Right.
Well, antibiotic-free, well, that means that everything that's not antibiotic-free has antibiotics in it. And why does it have antibiotics in it? Because the animals are being raised in conditions that are so bad that they wouldn't survive to the age to be slaughtered if they weren't being injected with antibiotics. Because, like, if you look at the ingredient deck of that meat that you're eating, you know, maybe it just lists the name of the type of animal that it was, but it doesn't talk about what the animal went through, what kind of stuff is in that animal that you are eating. I think just with the growing awareness with each generation of what the environmental impacts are for consuming meat and what the health impacts are for consuming meat, especially, you know, too much meat, it's just, you know, the fundamental shifts in the way that we're eating, and it's about time.
And if you go into that realm, if you go into the depths of that, it's the thing that helps me to make a different choice when I have one, because I love bacon. Like, I love it. I think it should be its own food group, comma. No, you don't, Mrs. Green. You should never eat it again for the rest of your life because of how they treat pigs. I mean, they're smart, and they are among the most abused. I don't know how you could come up with the most abused category in terms of factory farming, but there, I don't see many good films about how pigs are raised. It's pretty awful. I'm going to have Joel Sultan. You know, he was in Forks Over Knives and all that. He's just a character. And his pigs, I'm sure, are raised without any... there's no gestation crates on his farm. But even then, there's other complications to that. So your company, do you see your company taking an active role in even providing leaderships about the benefits of a plant-based diet for your body, for your community, for the animals and the planet?
Yes. Yep, we're definitely going to be talking about jackfruit, and we're going to get the word out about why plant-based eating and jackfruit as a part of that are so important. Just in, you know, continuing to build the company and get the word out there and get new products out there through social media and being at, you know, Veg Fests and various different events. You know, we are about... you know, talking to vegetarians and vegans, of course, about jackfruit. You know, one of the things that's interesting is that vegan consumers tend to be more explorers with the way that they eat and trying new things. But, you know, we really need to get the message out to people who, you know, are eating a lot of meat and just interested now in what are some of the other options out there. Because, you know, you can enjoy eating jackfruit. Of course, you don't need to completely stop eating meat in order to enjoy jackfruit. It's just a wonderful food. So, you know, a huge change would be made in our world if people who ate meat just reduced that consumption of meat. You know, if you even just, you know, have part of what you would otherwise have of meat as jackfruit, it's going to be better for your health, better for the planet. So we're all about, you know, making those incremental changes too.
So could you please get in your research, your R&D, could you get working on jackfruit bacon for me? <It's> like, please, I just want to be, and you might name it, you know, Mrs. Green's guilt-free bacon. It's so funny. My daughter's a vegetarian. And she, well, that's not true, but she pretty much eschews me. She doesn't want to eat any meat. My other daughter is a vegetarian, and the one thing that tempts them, it's like, it's crack. It's bacon is crack. You know, people like bacon that don't eat meat. There's something about it that they did to us to get us. So I work on that. You know, and I'm from the Southwest, and I think I'm actually originally from New Jersey. But I, on your website, I was looking very closely at the advertising. We're getting a new website soon, and not the advertising, the, you know, the pictures and all that. And on your homepage, are those quesadillas? What are those little puffy, adorable pockets in there that you have on the page? What are they? It's not a quesadilla.
No. Yeah, no. Okay. So we definitely have pictures of quesadillas on there.
Oh, okay.
That's what you're talking about.
That's good to know, though, because I can eat anything in a quesadilla. I just put a lot of salsa on it. So you're going to make a... Oh, man, this is big for me. And I'm so not kidding. This is just not podcast talk. This is Gina saying this could be something that it was part of my journey and that I want to do it for. So can we talk a little bit about the international market? I mean, you live in the United States, you came here. Is your vision to continue to develop your market here? And is it being receptive versus starting in someplace like, you know, any country in Europe, which in many cases they are more highly evolved than we are with waste and, you know, natural products and all those things, or, you know, the middle class in India or China? How do you figure that out?
Mm-hmm. Well, our focus right now is primarily on the U.S., but the focus for the Jackfruit Company long term definitely be global. It's really just a matter of
time and money. I am an entrepreneur. And, you know, it makes sense. Nothing else makes sense to me because we are consumers, the 85% consumers of the world's goods. So where would you want to start to make your biggest imprint? You know what I mean? And, you know, it's interesting to me that you picked this, and it makes me very happy because this is the market you need to permeate. Do you want to talk a little bit about how your current, what you're doing and the potential impact it has vis-a-vis your company and climate reality? Just dig a little deeper in that. Let's get down in the weeds about the kind of difference you'd really like to make, because you obviously have a passion and a commitment and a vision. And in the very few minutes we have left, talk a little bit about, you know, I don't call it climate change or climate global warming, anything. I call it climate reality because you mentioned these storms. So 12 people are dead as we record this. 13 people are missing from the landslides in Ventura and by Santa Barbara and up in the Pacific, in the Northwest in California. Dead, like dead, gone. That's only the beginning if it keeps raining. And it's horrific what happened. And it was because there was no vegetation, zero. It said on NPR this morning, nothing to stop it, okay? And then Switzerland, 13,000 people stranded because of extreme snow and avalanches. Never happened in the history of our world, okay? And then we could talk about the tanker that's dropping a million gallons of oil on the coast of North Carolina, but global warming, climate change, whatever, it's climate reality. And I believe you really want to make a difference, a measurable difference for that. So circle back to that. What kind of impact would you love to have? Jackfruit right. In every house?
Right. Well, with the way that what you're talking about, I mean, if we could completely stop climate change and just make it stop instead of continuing to get worse, like, of course that's what we would want to do if we
right.
could reverse it
right.
Of course that's what we would want to do. I think it's an evolving situation, so to know exactly how much impact you could have with one food, it's hard to measure. But in terms of you know, something that has a potential to fundamentally transform the way that people eat, obviously we believe that this is it. Something, you know, again, the meatiest plant on the planet. What's an easier way to reduce consumption of meat? Because again, it's not like, you know, people who are already vegetarians and vegans, they are like, that is a huge impact on the fact that they are that. But if we're going to make further change beyond that, it's about everybody who's not that today. And how can we get, you know, everybody else to eat a little bit less meat? And the people, the millions of people around the world who haven't had access to meat as much before, who are getting access to meat now, you know, with, increased income, like that is something that, you know, if people want to have access to meat, like I feel like they should have access to that. It's just that, you know, with the increasing population combined, what we're going to need to stabilize to as a global population that's continuing to get bigger and bigger is, you know, what is the minimum amount of meat consumption that we really should have or really need to have? I don't think that in the near term everybody's going to become vegetarian, although that might be a long-term reality as our population continues to go up and up. But just trying to find a way that we're all going to be able to live well on this planet with each other as people, in the environment, the animals. It's definitely a complicated situation, and it's continuing to evolve. And we hope that, you know, with jackfruit continuing to build a bigger marketplace, we're going to be able to have a really, really positive impact on all of that.
I was thinking about, like, presenting at conferences. I mean, Bioneers is a conference that's kind of singing to the choir, but it's powerful and good things happen there and there's a ripple effect. But, you know, Green Biz, we're going to the Green Biz conference in a couple of weeks. It's here in Phoenix, and it sells out. It's like a couple of $1,000. We, of course, have press passes, but there are many, like Paul Hawken is one of the featured speakers, okay? So he's a food guy, right? And climate change guy, whatever. He's just a great guy. Let's talk about that way. So as part of your education and awareness, is it your hope that you'll get a part on the global stage at something like Green Biz? I mean, I'm sure you could get on it already if you wanted to, but that's a way to reach massive number of people and big sponsors and high profile, you know, organizations. Is that part of the plan, or are you too busy developing? I mean, you've got a lot on your plate and you are 26.
Well, I did get a chance to speak with Al Gore once about jackfruit and just the role that it can play. And he is, I think if you ask him today, a jackfruit fan. So we're definitely looking for different ways to get the word out.
But that's huge. I mean, he is the guy. Yeah. I went to the climate reality training in Denver last March, and I was blown away. I was blown away by him and his hands-on-ness. I mean, this man is committed, dedicated, and that's all he cares about. Eat, sleep, drink, preserve the planet. So, and I'd like to just reflect that what you're doing is already making a difference, because every bit of jackfruit that you eat that's not a prime rib, you're making a difference and helping with the reduction of CO2 emissions. And, you know, when I read about any McDonald's closing, I don't ever wish any business ill. I don't ever. But it is... I do reflect on when I was growing up, McDonald's started, they didn't close up until like the past year. I never heard of such a thing. But people, it's just a good sign. And, you know, I dare say, I think they're even trying. I'm not sure how much of an impact we can expect, but they're trying to diversify their menu, and maybe we'll go in and get a jackfruit burger someday. I don't know.
Yep.
Pulled jackfruit. I think it's pretty awesome.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah. So I always like to ask there's two questions I have left, and we have about 3 minutes, I think, but the first one is the call to action, because I don't want to miss that. So I have my ideas for what I would like our listeners to consider in terms of immediate calls to action when they get off this show. What would you say?
Got to give jackfruit a try.
Yes, go find that's
it
what I say.
At your local supermarket.
Give it a try.
About 5,000 stores.
Go to the website.
Yep.
You can order from there. You can follow you on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram so that you get recipes and beautiful pictures and get involved. You can sign up for the newsletter. Those are immediate things that you can do to me to continue your education, but just do something. That's what I say to people. This is a great show, and I already know it because I have had so much fun and learned so much and got so excited about it, but the call to action is what really matters. And I want to forward promote the two shows coming up. Lance Meeks and Tara Carmody, our local show, Sustainable Futures, Youth Services That Enrich Lives, and Changes Begin in Communities. And this is a project that Goodwill Industries of Southern Arizona has going. And then for our national show, guess what? I'm loving it. Dana, I don't know how to say her name. It's Fraszz. So I'm going to say Fraz, but I will find out from her. Food Shift, from landfills to people. She's like farming landfills. I'm loving this too. So I'm telling you, Annie Ryu, our paths better cross. That's all I'm going to say. And when I try jackfruit, you'll be hearing from me.
Awesome.
So go to the website, thejackfruitcompany.com, and you know, we all want to be the change we wish to see in the world, and this is one opportunity. So, Annie, thanks for showing up in my world and for the difference you and your company is doing. And everybody, make it a great green, intentionally lived week. Thank you.